Watt Key was born in Point Clear, Alabama. He has six younger brothers and sisters. Growing up in a remote stretch of coastline, Mr. Key and his siblings spent time fishing, hunting, building tree forts, and reading. Books and stories were a large part of our childhood entertainment. Dad read Kipling and Poe and Doyle to us nightly, says the author. Watt also made up stories that kept his younger siblings laughing and asking for more. In Alabama Moon, Watt Key draws upon his experiences to give us an exciting survival tale peppered with memorable characters.
Just before Pap died, he told me that I'd be fine as long as I never depended on anybody but myself. He said I might feel lonely for a while, but that would go away. I was 10 years old, and he taught me everything I needed to know about living out in the forest. I could trap my own food and make my own clothes. I could find my way by the stars and make fire in the rain. Pap said he even figured I could whip somebody three times my size. He wasn't worried about me. It took me most of a morning to get him into the wheelbarrow and haul him to the cedar grove on the bluff. I buried him next to Mama, where you could see the Noxubee River flowing coffee-colored down below. It was mid-January, and the wind pulled at my hair, and gray clouds slid through the trees and left the forest dripping. I felt the loneliness he told me about crawling up from my stomach and into my throat. I didn't put a cross on the grave. I never knew Pap to believe in things like that. The only way you could make out Mama's grave was the ground that was sunk in over her in 1972, scratched on a limestone rock nearby. I don't remember her face, but I remember somebody else in the bed at night, keeping me warm from the other side. Pap said she reminded him of a yellow finch, which is how she stays in my mind. I found a rock for Pap and scratched 1980 on it with a nail. After placing it beside the dirt mound, I put the shovel in the wheelbarrow and started back for the shelter. The Cedar Grove Trail was the only one we used enough to wear our tracks into it. It was worn like a cow path from years of walking it with Pap. Not only did he like to see Mama up on the bluff, but we used it as a main trail to check the northeast trap lines. It had been almost a week since I'd run any of them because I hadn't wanted to leave Pap's side. I was sure the traps were tangled in the creeks, and it only made the sickness in my stomach worse to think that whatever was in them was most likely dead. Pap had tried to explain death to me, but I couldn't make sense of it. Pap said you passed on and came back as something else. It could be a squirrel or a coon, it could be a fish or an Eskimo. There was no way to tell. The most confusing part of what he told me was that even though he would come back as something else, there would still be a part of the old him that floated around like smoke. This part of him would watch out for me. I couldn't talk to this thing or touch it, but I could write to it. I could make my letters and then burn them, and the smoke would carry my message to him. When I got back to the shelter, I put the wheelbarrow and the shovel away and went inside. I took off my deerskin jacket and hat, lay down on the pile of hides that we hadn't been able to sell, and stared at the roots in the ceiling. There was always a lot of work to do and no time to rest, but now Pap was dead and things were not the same. I thought about death again. Most things he told me made sense real quick. You boil steel traps to get the scent off. You overlap palmetto roofing so the rain slides down it. You soak a deer skin for 2 days and it comes out with 2 days of softness to it. I could understand these things. But what he said about dying and the smoky messages and his hate for the government, they were the hardest ideas for me to understand. He'd said the government was after us ever since I could remember. The shelter we lived in was set miles into a forest owned by a paper company and was a place no person besides us had any cause to be. Even had someone come by, he would have just about run into our shelter before he would notice anything unusual. It was one small room built halfway into the ground, with low ceilings so that Pap had to stoop to walk inside. The roof was covered with dirt and bushes, and trees grew from the top. Over time, tree roots had come down into the shelter and twisted through the logs and made their way into the ground at the edges. Everything that showed above ground was from nature. Even the stovepipe sticking up through the ceiling was encased in limestone. We practiced with our rifles 3 times a week. Our windows were narrow slits for shooting through, and the trees that you saw out of these windows were pocked and chipped from years of Pap and me practicing a Stage 1 defense. In Stage 2, we moved into the hole at the backside of the shelter, where a muddy tunnel led to the box. The box was about a quarter the size of our shelter, and made of steel sheets that Pap took from an old barn. An air pipe went up through the ground and was hidden inside a tree stump. Pap said if we ever moved to Stage 2, we'd cave the tunnel in behind us. We had dried food and water in the box that would last for a week or more. Pap said a Stage 2 would be hard, but the box was made to keep people alive when things got really bad. It would be a while before they'd find us, he'd said. There were no power lines or roads nearby. Except for the path to the cedar grove, we switched our trails every week so we wouldn't wear our tracks into the ground. We made most of our fires in the wood stove to hide the flame. If we had to make a fire outside, we used the driest wood we could find to cut down on the smoke. We couldn't carry anything shiny in the bright sun in case a plane caught the reflection. Our knife blades kept a thin coat of rust on them for that very purpose. Pap even went so far as to sneak up on his game from the south so that the sound from the rifle shot would be aimed down into the river bottom. From my place on the hide pile, I could hear the birds through the small window slit as the forest grew dark outside. I was used to paying extra attention to the late afternoon and night sounds. Pap said if the government was coming for us, that's when they'd come. He got nervous and quiet when the sun started dropping. He liked to sit inside the shelter and work on chores that didn't make noise. The two of us sewed, whittled, scraped hides, and repaired traps while we studied the forest sounds. But I didn't do any of these things the afternoon after Pap died. I couldn't. I just balled up like a squirrel and cried. When I was a kid, we used what was called the bookmobile. We lived in a pretty rural area, and the bookmobile would park at the post office about a mile away from my house, and my mother would take us up to the bookmobile, and we would go inside. It was like about half the size of a bus, and it was full of books, and you could go in and check out some books from it, and then you would bring them back to the bookmobile when it returned a week later. And it was because of that I had an opportunity to get a hold of a lot of books and enjoy a lot of stories that I might not have otherwise had the opportunity to do. So I encourage each of you to make use of your library and the many resources that it has. It certainly helped me, and I know it will help you.